Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nation.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm seeing some faces. Yes, Lydia. Are there first time visitors? Returning first time visitors? Is it your first time to be with us? The third? Returning visitor. Okay, anyone else? The children are getting older. I cannot even recognize them from this side, like quickly. But I see Esther at the back. Esther, you're very welcome. And I think some children got holidays. Yeah, Esther, you're very welcome. Melissa, you're welcome. Who else is there? Noel, yes, Noel. Hi, how are you? Good to see you. Yes, please clap for them. Yeah. You've got to get used to clapping for people. Hallelujah. Yes, especially the ones who you thought were young and now they are. So when you say Esther, guys, like, yeah. But maybe if I had said Bob, clap for Bob, people would be, eh? Hallelujah. Yes, who else? Hey, Keegan and Kyle, you're very welcome. Yes, please stand up. You guys, stand up and face the church. Up, up, up. If you can tell a difference between these two people, tell you face the church. First, look at, can you tell the difference? Can you tell the difference between those boys? It took me quite a while, and now, if you want to tell the difference, you come to me after church. I'll tell you how to spot a certain difference on them, because it took me sitting with them in Sunday school to actually know who Keegan is and who Kyle is. And it doesn't help that the names are also similar. So for a while, Bambi, they were very, please have a seat, they were very patient with me. I would call them opposite names, and they would keep Bambi correcting me. I know down there in children's church, even when you call a child a name that is not theirs, they are not going to answer you. The first thing they will do is correct you and then answer you. Yeah? So, yeah, I'm so happy to see us here. Yeah, children, especially holiday makers. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. I'm also glad to see Pastor. I was quite surprised when I found him in the parking lot because I knew that time they had, arrived. And like Pastor said, if it was me, well, I don't know, it would take me having to preach or be downstairs with the children for me to come to church, because that journey on the road, yeah, to and fro, does something to you. Whether it is mental, whether it is emotional, it just still does something to you. Glory to God. But we thank God that He has the strength. Hallelujah. He has more strength than many people that I see in the congregation. Glory to God. Amen. Today we are going to talk about something that I felt maybe we should hear this just before we celebrate the anniversary, especially being knowing where we have come from, knowing what God has told us, most especially because of our DNA. Hallelujah. And so today we are going to, I'm just going to remind you, because I kind of feel like this is something that we all know, but we just need to be reminded. And I feel this is the best time to remind us before we get into the 11th year with new mysteries. Glory to God. Yes, so today we are going to remind ourselves about good and faithful servants of God. Glory to God. Good and what? Faithful servants of God. Matthew 25:14-30. It's a long text, but we are going to go through it. We are all familiar with this, but yeah. So, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of these servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sowed and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sowed and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to those, to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Sam, I need to do something about my specs. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yes, so, because I was struggling to read some of, you know, when they become small, then I wasn't seeing some punctuation marks. So anyway, we have all before had or have been taught about the parable of the talents. We had it from Sunday school. As we grew, we got more mysteries about it. And even now, I know that some of you who are listening to me probably even have a deeper mystery than I'm going to share today. But you know, if you have a deeper mystery about this talent, you know, especially about the parable, especially parables, just hang on. We shall talk after the service. Glory to God. But today, we are going to talk about how to be, no, not how to be, but the, some particular, what I feel are critical elements of being a good and faithful servant to the Lord. Hallelujah. So one of the things that this parable emphasizes, it emphasizes the fact that there is a master over servants. Glory to God. And this master, okay, there is a master over servants, and then there are servants. Now I'm trying to really go like slowly with the, you know, with the children. So we've seen from what we've read that there is a master. There is one master, there are several servants, all right? And then there is what we call responsibility, and then accountability when the master returns. Hallelujah. That is a nutshell of what? Of that parable. Hallelujah. And I know that in the past, and which is actually true, we always use this parable in line with the second coming of the Lord and how we have to account for what he has given us or our salvation, okay? Which is also true. But for the purpose of today's sermon, we're going to look at our talents, the talent that the master gives the servant as your ability, your gifting, what God has called you to do. We're going to look at it like that broadly. Hallelujah. And so before I go to the detail of those things that I just explained, you know, it's important for us to remember that God expects faithful stewardship for everything he has given you. When whatever gift you have, say you have a gift, they are gifting, spiritual giftings or divine natural enablements. Those are gifts. Yeah, you know, someone can stand before you, they have charisma. That is a gifting, all right? Not everyone has charisma. Me, I know. I listen to many preachers. Others, it takes the grace of God for you to even extrapolate what they are saying. And I hope it's not the case with me. But others are so crystal clear. I'm like, this just takes what? A gift. Now, there are gifts like, of course, worship, music, you know, good voice. That's also a gift. But also, don't look at it only in that line of gifts. In terms of talent, like talent, how you, what you can do nicely or quickly or what easily comes to you. Singing, dancing. I know that young people, when I say what is your talent, the first thing they'll think about, my daughter will be like, but I can't dance. I can't run. Not that she can't dance. I think she can really dance. But she's thinking, dancing, running. Because that is what we have taught our children as talents. But you know, that plays into the bigger part, the overarching theme of what you have actually been called to do, your purpose on earth. If I come here and I stand and I start to preach and I only concentrate on spiritual giftings, which is probably the five offices, that means that I'm preaching probably to how many people? Like to two or three people. But you see, this parable is relevant to all of us because to each one of us, God has given something that is in line with their purpose. And you know what? God is going to come back. Jesus is going to come back and he's going to call us to account according to what he gave us. So for example, one of the things we're talking about as we're coming today was the life of an engineer. Yeah, we were talking about different things, but the life of an engineer is such that they are very surgical in the way they look at things. What is the problem? What is the solution? And I have delivered. And then he goes, is it working? It is working. Chikola, chikola, gazama, zigaze. Yeah, tap, open the tap, power, water is back. Power is off, God fixes a few things, and he goes away. Yeah. Then now comes another person who is now more detailed. For example, let us look at like an interior designer. They would want to go, an interior stylist, they would want to go into the detail of what the tap looks like. How much, when the water is coming out, is it delivered in one sprout or does it drip, you know? So, and all those are different giftings and abilities, by the way. Glory to God. So that person, don't ever expect that person to come now and, okay, not that you shouldn't expect, but it's rare that someone will come and stand here and preach like a pastor because he's actually not a pastor. Hallelujah. He's an engineer. So even his delivery will be like that. Pa, 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 pa. Yeah? And when you look at like now, Pastor Moses, well, his giftings are several. But let me just take one, yeah? Pastor has a gift of delivering. I don't know that I can listen to anyone who can deliver a hard sermon and I don't get lost. Like, Pastor has that ability to deliver something so huge, he breaks it down for you in chewable what? Pieces. Glory to God. That you would actually be unserious to really misunderstand him. Hallelujah. I think one of the favorites for me when he's talking is the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, the end times. That is something I can listen to over and over and over again. If I dare ask the children, do you remember the feasts? Feasts of the what? Now, only Pastor could say that. Hallelujah. I could not think about it because I think maybe I would just go with the unleavened bread like that, yeah? But for him, and it was so simple. It was so, like, relevant in that time. So you see, there are different, what? Giftings. Glory to God. And that is necessary because he's a pastor. That is necessary in his calling. Of what use would it be for him to stand Nababuza in mysteries? In the Greek and what, and then you just get pumped up that you had something new, but in your mind, there was no conversion of that knowledge. So again, that is a gift. But now, like again, I'm saying all this to say that whatever God has given you as an ability, it ties into your purpose. I know someone here who is a good salesperson, that if the person can sell you a human being, womlaba, and that person is what? Born again. Hallelujah. Yeah? I have had an opportunity to interact with this person in their field. And man, me and Sam just left and were like, yo, this is great. The person has, without, and effortlessly, You know, someone who comes and says, you just come and sit here. You sit, no problem, just sit. And now they start selling to you. And I'm like, oh God, this is such a gift. Now me as the pastor, I'm like, this is such a gift. I think I need this kind of gift because I need to know how to market things, you know, because the guy had me just at the, you know, the guy had me at the moment. He said, you just come. Where are you? Anyway, let me just find you there where you are. You know those salespeople? So it's also a gift, but that is directly tied into his purpose on earth. His purpose is not actually to sell, but there is something that God has gifted him, maybe to sell the gospel. Maybe he is better at presenting some things a certain way. I do not know, especially the gospel, yeah? So whatever gifting you have, it ties directly into your purpose. And then from this parable, we also see that there is an expectation of fruitfulness in whatever that God has given you. God expects you to be what? Fruitful. We see it from the Garden of Eden. When God told Adam and Eve, go forth and what? Multiply. Sin was not there. So fruitfulness has always been God's what? God's plan. And also, like again I said, he gave each one of us opportunities. He gave each one of us abilities. And he's given us resources to help us along that what? That path. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, one of the things that I know that God didn't give me is the ability to understand math and physics. It takes me quite a while. I remember I got to the revelation, this deep revelation, when I had to teach Kwezi during lockdown, yeah? That I traumatized him or he traumatized me, but when it came to physics and science, it was always, you know what? It is now 8:30, he's asking me, so mommy, what does this mean? And I'm like, oh my God, what have I gotten myself into? And then I'll try to explain things. Then he'll just look at me. I see he's not believing me. Then he goes like, you know what? I'm going to wait for daddy. I'm like, at 8:30 a.m., you're waiting for your dad to come back at 8:30 p.m. to ask him what color is over nitrogen, when it does what and what and what. So even sometimes now, I'll go to Google and Xerox. He asks me, now mommy, this. Then, of course, I had the laptop, so I just Xerox, tell him the answer. He's like, but I need the working. I'm like, working? Me, I've given you the what? The answer. He's like, but I still don't understand, yeah? It was so difficult. So what? Difficult. But later, I noticed that my son, he has that ability to decipher things, you know, math numbers, physics, chemistry, and I know that he's really tied into what God wants him to do for him on earth. Glory to God, into his purpose. So, yeah, so then another thing is we must remember that when we read this parable of the, you know, the talents, you realize that the one who has given five multiplied to how many? Math, multiplied to what? People, some people say 12. Multiplied to what? 10, yeah? But then the one who has given two multiplied to 4. But you remember when Jesus Christ, when their master returns, he gives them the same compliment. He says, well done, good and what? Faithful servant. So this goes to show that for a good and faithful servant, it's not so much how much you have in your hands. It's not so much that ability that you are given. At the end of the day, God wants multiplication. He wants you to be fruitful. Whether to you it looks like 5 talents or it looks like 1 talent. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God wants that doctor to be as fruitful as a fashion designer. So you cannot come and say, oh, even an actor. Let me say a comedian. Okay, now those are things where people look at, they're like, man, if your child came and told you, mommy, I want to be a comedian, you'll be like, what? You better have the talent, but again. But, you know, if that is what your child has been called to do, God expects that child. God expects that child as his child or his servant to be fruitful in that area. Glory to God. So you cannot relegate that one and say, your things are not serious. Let us only look at the preachers, apostles, the prophets. No. Hallelujah. So, Now, this takes me to the themes I talked about. The four things I talked about, that is the master, the servant, the responsibility, and accountability. First, looking at the master. We all know from this parable, who is the master? Jesus Christ, okay? Jesus Christ is the master. This, it just means it's, the master is symbolic of Jesus Christ. The servants are you and I. Glory to God. And so we know that when we get born again, yes, the Lord, Jesus Christ is our Savior, but also he is our master. Hallelujah. In this day and age, people do not want to use words like masters because they have a negative connotation. They had rather use direct report. They had rather use not direct report, but boss, head of department, yeah, director. Those ones are easier. Or head of operations. It's easier to call Lydia head of ops than calling her master of what? Of ops. But it's because of the culture that we are in where we have negative connotations with these words. But this is not what God meant them to be. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. I'm going to remind us that Jesus Christ is indeed our master. 19 says, oh, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Hallelujah. Glorify God in your body, in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That means that your body, like everything about you, owned your body, your spirit. So there's nothing like, it is my body, I'll do what I want. No, your body belongs to God. But also, you were bought at a what? A price. Anyone who is able to afford. You know, there was one time I had someone say that everyone has a price to them. Anyone has a price. Anyone has something that can actually compromise them. That is what they meant. And then I realized that if someone can come and get your price of compromise, then you become their what? Their slave, and they become your what? Your master. So this is why the Bible says that we were bought at a price. You were bought, as in to a certain degree. I look at myself as not property, because that is. But you understand what I'm saying? I look at myself as a thing that was bought, someone who was bought, and therefore I belong not to myself because I didn't pay for myself. I was redeemed. Someone owned me first. You see, by the time someone comes and buys something from you, that means that the other person they have bought it from owns it first, all right? So now I come and I buy a Bible from Oria. So when I give her the money, she names her price. I give her the money, she gives me the Bible. I become the what? The owner. I become the master of the Bible. The Bible cannot buy itself. Glory to God. So that means that we were once owned by someone else, and that is the devil. And the price was too high. But Jesus Christ comes, and the price is named. And the price is the blood. And he says, I'm putting it there. Then he buys you. So how then can you say that now, for your genda kwe kwelebiyagala, you just changed lordship here. Glory to God. When we got born again, it was a change of lordship. That now we are no longer in the kingdom of darkness, we are in the kingdom of light, where the master is Jesus Christ. Okay? So it's easier for us sometimes to relate to God as a friend, what. But you know, when you, in whatever God has given you, in your calling, with the talents that you have, when you realize that these things were given to me to work with on behalf of my master, it changes the way you serve. It changes the way you do your office work. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm talking to people who I know are going to office tomorrow at 8. And let me tell you, I want to remind you that when you enter that car to go to office, who are you serving? Remind yourself, let this mind be in you, that your master is first and foremost God. Hallelujah. And he has delegated that authority through your boss. But if you put it in your head that today, honestly, let me go and work for the Lord. In whichever field I am in, it changes your day. It changes the way you do things. These things of saying, ha, you know, minimum Tuesday, you know, bare minimum Tuesday, those things will not be there. And I've talked about them before. Luke 6:46. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Jesus is telling this guy, why do you call me? Because they came and they were calling him Lord, Lord. But you know they were not accepting salvation. So Jesus goes like, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, when you do not do the things that I tell you to do? So this inadvertently means that every time we do not do what the master is telling us to do, we are saying that we are not under his lordship. We are not his servants. We are not his slaves. Hallelujah. I was trying to keep away from that. Yeah? Well, I'm trying to keep away from slaves, master, that kind of language. But you see here, it's in the Bible. And yeah, I'm just going to preach it as it is. So why do you call him Lord, Lord, yet you do not do the things he has told you to do? Why do you call Jesus Christ your Lord, yet you go to work when you're complaining? Yet you cut meetings at work. Yet they tell you, please put on you have an online meeting, put on your video, and you say, Lubaze. Why? Because you are not even prepared. You are taking the meeting in the bed. I've seen those things happen. Why do you call Jesus Christ Lord, Lord, yet you do not do the things that he has told? Why do you lie? Why do you lie? Yeah? You know, I was also talking to some young people, and they were telling me, not young people, I was talking to someone who used to be a member of this church, and they were educating me about the Gen Z language. And they were telling me, man, Gen Zs nowadays, when they resign, it will take you understanding what they are saying. That Gen Zs resign like this. It has been a good ride together. But because of about what, they gave me a line of things, and I was like, what? One of the things that they told me that Gen Zs do is saying, but you know, we are not what? We are not, I'm sorry, this has been a good ride, but because we are not aligned. How many of you have heard that? I was in a meeting one time, and guys were like, yeah, we all align. I'm like, align in what? But what? Yeah, so we are all aligned on that. I'm like, ah, okay. So because everyone was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Even me, I went like, yeah. But I'm like, God, I hope I'm saying yeah to the right things, yeah? So there's that language. Because for them, and especially in this day and era where work is not looked at the way we looked at work, people take lightly their jobs. People take lightly their opportunities. They take lightly their giftings. Today I can jump from this place to another like that. And that is where you have, but there's so many people who, let me first talk about YouTube preachers. Did you know? This is what I think about YouTube preachers. I don't know, you can go and find out. But not all of them. Of course, please guys, not all of them, but some. You know, some of these people that we watch on YouTube, if you can be able to discern, you will tell that this person is a novice or is not mature or is not ready yet to be on a public platform. And my guess is when they are told this in their churches, they do not want to submit, they don't want to learn. But because now you can have a YouTube or a TikTok congregation, so you find someone there. Because I always ask myself, oh no, Yavawa. Oh no, who is your leadership? And then when you follow through some of them, they will still talk about other people who are in their same space. On YouTube preachers in Nigeria, YouTube preachers in the US. But this person is preaching probably from Zimbabwe. And I'm like, but how are those people your pastor? How are those people your church? Be careful the people that you listen to. Yeah, just make sure that you're not being taken for granted or for a long ride. So anyway, so going back to who your master is, yeah, that means that if God asks you, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do the things that I tell you to do, that means that you're making a statement that you are not, he's not your master. Hallelujah. The second thing is servants, yeah. I talked about the themes in that, I'm talking about the themes in the parable of the talents, yeah. It sounded wrong. The parable of, not the tenants. Hallelujah, tenants in this place. But Master, servant. Now we're on servants. Luke 12. No, 1 Corinthians 6, 20. Yes, for you are bought at a price, and therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So that means that you, like again I said, we talked about the master, now we're talking about the servant. The two things are close together, but you understand what I mean, that you're actually a servant, you're a slave. Now, in the Old Testament, by the way, some people, for you to be a servant, you are born into a servant family or tribe. All of you guys are supposed to be servants. You carry water, you do what, you serve what? Rich people. And you would, these servants would be under the lordship of their masters for as long as they live. That was their purpose, to serve their what? Their masters. But I also know, and I've read several accounts of how servants became close to their masters, and they did such a tremendous job, and they were promoted. Glory to God. So, we know that when you're a servant, what it really means to be a servant or a slave is that actually you don't have any rights. Hallelujah. You relegate your rights and you live for your boss. You do everything that your boss wants. Hallelujah. We don't want to hear these things, but this is Christianity 101. If you ever write a katabo on servanthood, you would like to say it was a New York bestseller. I'm telling you, just put servant, master-servant relationship. Guys will attack you. They'll say in this day and age, our rights become what? Our rights. Yeah. But you know, in salvation, when we get born again, when we changed lordship, we became slaves. We became servants to somebody else. So you can be there and you're like, but for me, this is not relevant to me. But you know, as you go to work in the morning, you are someone's what? Slave. And that someone is, thankfully, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Some people are saying, oh my God, you don't know my boss. You do not know them. They are not anything like Jesus. Yeah. But even as we go to work, even as we do whatever we do, whether it is one talent, you have one talent, you have five talents, your boss is the same as the person. Did you know that your boss is the same as, let me see, the Bank of Uganda, the governor's boss? Do you know that you guys share a boss? Did you know that, Lydia? Because all leadership comes from God, unless he's serving the devil. But there are Christians up there who have done great things for God. And I'm glad that we have the same master, because then I can tell someone that when I serve my master, that is where I am what? I am headed. And this is where your testimony, my testimony, what we do in our calling, what we do on earth counts. Because then you broadcast who your master is. Hallelujah. We can know your master by the way you are. Glory to God. You know, Wilson Bugembe, who knows his master now? Yeah, you guys. Yeah. So, of course, we know that. It goes without saying that we are slaves. And if you know that you're a slave, it changes the way you do things. You're not in charge. You're not the boss. So you have to get your marching orders from God. That is why we keep emphasizing, ask God before you make, ask your master, you slave, before you make major decisions. Hallelujah. You don't want it to sound like that. You prefer to say it the other way around. Ask the Lord, your God, your friend, yeah, your purpose. Or find out his will before you go astray. Then the third one is responsibility. That is really basically what God has called you to do, and you are held responsible. In the parable of the talents, we know that the master returned after a long time. He returned, but he was expecting something. He had left them in charge of something. He said, you have this, I'll come back. Work with it, I will come back. So you have a responsibility to work and to be better in the area that God has called you to. Hallelujah. These things are very simple, but they plague us on a daily, yeah? And every time you talk about your purpose, I feel like it's such a big word that people start, even adults, to say, but now, I'm now 50 years. How far have I gone in my purpose? Look at it like this. That every day, everything that you do, it either takes you closer to your purpose or away from it. So whenever you hear, and this is, let me just break it down. Whenever you hear those podcasts, listen to those podcasts, and they're talking about purpose. Nebaba buza buza, too much English. Yeah? Let me tell you, in LAT, I'm going to try and be like Pastor. Your purpose is really God's will for you on earth. What did he send you to do? That is, it's as simple as that. Don't be there. And if you want to know how you're doing, look back. Look back in the last 2 weeks. And even as I say this, I want us to take a mental journey back. Look back retrospectively. In the last 2 weeks, what have you done in line with your purpose as given to you by your master? Is there anything that you have done to take you closer or backwards? Yeah? So, it's important for us to remember that it is your responsibility. This, you do not see the servant who has five going and saying, you know what? the things that we do in our papa. Or the one who has two saying, you know what? This is too little. You know? And those are things that I think derail us as we walk this journey of fulfilling our purpose. Did you know that you can be in the same place, you're two pastors, but your talents are different? Yeah, your two pastors are different from me, I'm different from him. So your two pastors, you are like Keegan and Kyle, hallelujah. Split image of each other, but guess what? Your purpose is totally different. But now what derails people is they look at what Keegan is doing and they're like, Banange, for me, yeah? For me. Let me make you laugh. Last week, I was teaching the children about, we're talking, and one of the children I know was born in the U.S. So we're talking about where the children were born. And so I'm like, hey, but Joe, do your children know that your friend here was born in the U.S.? Ha! They looked at the friend and they said, Then I asked, so the person who is born in the U.S., what do you expect them to look like? Ah, you know how children can be. They looked and said, I don't believe. Then I'm like, I dare you to tell me. Then they felt shy. Then I asked the child who was born in the U.S., which city were you born in? The child says, New York. In what year? The child says, the year they were born. So these guys are like, are you really, really serious? Because those are really job and they're like, man, this guy is like us, what? So then I start to ask, so do you know where you were born? And I can tell your children were hesitant to tell me where they were born. So now the lesson takes a turn. And I'm like, it does not matter. Even if you were born in the village, even if you were born over in Kampala, as in your parents were given that money, and at least you went and you were born in a hospital, and that is what? That is good. So now I went to this child who was like, but Auntie Joan, Teacher Joan, you're lying. This person was really... You know, they even came back and they're like, after the lesson, are you really, really sure he wasn't lying? I'm like, hey, but what's going on, yeah? So I'm like, no, he wasn't lying. He was actually born in the U.S. And man, you could see this child being like, can you reverse me back from to the time before my parents met, Nange, and you planned something for me, yeah? So I was just trying to tell them that don't look at what the other person has. Okay, look, concentrate on what you have. And these things are key. They are key because at a certain point, everybody, as long as you're in this flesh, you'll be challenged by what you have or what you don't have. Why, there will always be someone who is better than you. There will always be that five-talent lady. There will always be that five-talent gentleman. Go in ejo. Emu. You have what? One. Yeah, you have one. But let me tell you, you have the same opportunity to get the same commendation from your master. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We live in a world right now where there is over-commercialization and too much consumption of things. Today you've just gotten this. Tomorrow, even as you are bouncing, before you even reach the back, something else of the thing that you just got is released. Phones, glory to God. Cars, dresses. Yeah. So, and there is a push to buy things. And there are some of things, by the way, we should tell our children, because the lust of the eyes is insatiable. There will always be something way better. Okay? So even as children, by the way, go through this, even adults are faced with the same. Sometimes you go back. Yesterday we were at a wedding, and I had an opportunity of meeting people I had not seen in a very long time. But as we were seated on that table, I realized we are all in different places. And man, I was glad that guys I was sitting with were very prosperous. Hallelujah. Prosperous by all worldly standards. In fact, when we were getting out of our car, glory be to God for the Benz. So as we stepped out of the Benz, Sam tells me, "Do you see that right there?" I'm like, "Uh-huh." Like, "It is for this guy." Hey! And then as we're going to get our seat, he calls the guys like, "Where are you? I've arrived. So I'm like, the whole time I was just looking at this person like, what? That car belongs to them? Because there was a time when we were all like the same. We didn't have anything. So by the worldly carnal standards, you will always be challenged by someone who has something, what? Better. Glory to God. So I was like, but we are in different, like totally different. So, and then as we were going back home, I just kept on remembering where we came from, how now everyone is totally, what? Different. And you see, it's possible. And it's, I don't know what I can call it. It's so carnal, yeah? It's so carnal. It is human nature for you to sometimes compare yourself, for you to sometimes look over your hedge and say, what is at so-and-so's place? It's a human thing, okay? And for as long as we're in this flesh, you'll be challenged. But this is where we have to remember that I was given two talents according, because the Bible tells us in this parable that Jesus gave them according to their what? Abilities. Jesus could not have made a mistake. Now, where the challenge comes is how you use what you have. Some people don't even use what they have, and they even become more what? Broke. They will not prosper. So even that which they originally had, you see it dwindle. I don't know if you've seen some of those people. There are people who we grew up with, probably they were very brilliant, academically astute, yeah? Very fast, very what? And maybe it's a gift sometimes. Not to say children, you shouldn't work hard that because you don't have that gift. But they are just people who are like borderline geniuses. And guess what? After like some time and you meet them, they are asking you for 2K. Man, girl, you used to be the last. But you know what they did? They didn't use what they were given to their advantage. They didn't use it. Now, for you, you used your Kawan talent. Well, they don't know chemistry, you don't know physics, but someone is here who was, and they are coming to you for what? 2K. And now you're forced to tell them, but this 2K you're asking me for, do you know that in this economy, it's not my thing? Yeah? But when you were studying, their math was my thing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that is what it means that you can actually have, you can use whatever you have and prosper in it and make it fruitful. And that is what God expects you to do. There are no excuses in the kingdom of God. Why? Because every time you have an excuse for not being responsible for what God gave you, you're telling him that, you know, me, I was born in a poor family. Me, I was an only girl. About me, I grew up in a refugee camp. You're telling God that he made a mistake. Hallelujah. So it's important for us to take ownership, to be fruitful, to use what God has given us. I'll ask you, what has God given you? Once in a while, go back and write down those things. What has God given you? Write down anything at all that you think could be working in your favor. It could even be, by the way, but did you know that God gives beauty as a gift? Yeah, God gives beauty as a gift. And for me, I've seen people and I'm like, man, if man, you know, God, and men and women. No, when I say that, people are thinking, I'm only thinking about women. I'm also thinking about men, by the way. Hallelujah. Absalom, the guy with the puff of hair.
that when the guy was on a horse, and I think the hair, it was all like, you know, wind was going through his me. And then as he was, you know, then he comes across a branch, and as he's trying to go, but the hair was mob, and it was natural, it wasn't a wig. Zoop, because if it was a wig, you can leave the wig in the what? In the branch. But guess what? The thing caught him, and the guy fell off. Just how much hair would someone have, a man? That hair, even Solomon's hair was talked about, but not like Absalom's. Glory to God. Yeah. Hallelujah, Sam. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Uncle Mark. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah. So this guy had that much hair. The Bible says, Saul, you know, things of beauty, we look at them now through our fallen perspective, yeah? But the Bible says that Saul was handsome. The guy, they describe him as a guy who, like, would stand at the back, no mutwe neguvayo, because he was even tall, yeah? Tall, handsome, alana, tall, handsome, wow, those things. And you could just see him, and man, the guy, he was a looker. Esther, beautiful, beautiful. The one that people don't talk about, Vashti. Yeah, she had a bad end, but she had a good run. Glory to God. Uh-huh. Yeah. She didn't end up, but she had a good run. By the time she was called to do the modeling, my friend, that king wasn't joking. Glory to God. She must have had something. Think about it. She was beautiful to behold. Beautiful to what? To behold. Sarah. Yeah, these are women, even their husbands. Imagine you go with Mark, and Mark is like, well, Lydia, we're too secret. Yeah, but Jack, what? They'll take me out. So you're going to have to, that person had to be beautiful for you, who has a covenant with your husband, for him to say, at the cost of your man, your beauty is going to cost me my what? My life. So, Lydia Guma, hey, tweeteo. Not one day, not 2 days, because the Bible says that this guy stayed in that place for a long time. So that means that they lived a life for quite a while. You guys, when you read that story, you may think that, oh, they lied today, then they were found out the next day. No. They said after a while, the king saw the guy. And he said, Shivalonga, it's not what? So God actually gives what? It's not mathing properly. So God gives things like beauty. Hallelujah. Yes. And I'm talking, you guys, chill these things of beauty on the inside. I'm talking physical. because, you know, it's amazing that before the Bible introduces some of these characters and tells us what they did for the Lord, the very first thing that he said of them is that, and he was what? Handsome. But then he loved the what? The Lord. And he did what? So, don't shy away from things like beauty. God actually gifts people with beauty. So, write down anything at all that for me, actually, I'm beauty. Put it on the list and say, God, among the things that you gave me, it is what? Beauty, put it there. Hallelujah. If it wasn't for Esther's beauty, could she even have made it into the king's palace? Other things came later, but there was what? The first line. You had to look a certain way to enter a place. Hallelujah. Now I've seen people, like, you know, those Queen Sheba, you know, those that they talk about, very beautiful women, even in the Bible, who did exploits. But you know, it's okay actually for your beauty, even you as men, for your beauty to work for you. Because unlike, and I'm going to say it this way, and I hope you take it right, yeah? We live in a carnal world. And many times you want that people will look at you, will know you for your heart. But you know, when you work in an office environment where you're 1,000 people who are not born again, you're going to have to get everything that works for you. So if it is beauty, if it is combing that hair, if it is the mustache, unfortunately, that is what sometimes the carnal People look like that is what we work with. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So you can't say for me, nobody wants me, you can't love me for who I am in my heart, my friend. Some people don't want to know those things. You first show up looking a certain way, then now they'll get interest in you, then they discover, actually, you have a much bigger, much greater beauty on the inside of you. Hallelujah. And the opposite is also true, that there are people who are by all kind of standards, physical standards, beautiful. But my friend, after they have known them, they bounce them. They're like, for you, yes, you with your looks, we don't want to what? We don't want to know you. Mm-hmm. So you know where the weightier issue is. Then, go back, write down anything, ability, gifting, anything that you think that God has given you as a servant, and see how do those things work for me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There are people I know right now who who they listen to, not because of anything else, but maybe because they look a certain way, they are beautiful. They are beautiful to behold. So even if I say, what is that person doing? What is that person what? Saying. And now people, you laugh at me because you think that I'm kind of, no, I'm not, yeah? But there's just that thing that just pulls you, glory to God, to this person. So beauty is, again, it's a gift for some, yeah? It's a gift for some. While some of us, you really have to work a bit in that area to look a certain way. But yeah, we are all fearfully and wonderfully made. Hallelujah. So find out what God has given you. Find out how that is connected to your purpose and decide to work on it. And you know what? Tomuswaza, do not embarrass your master. Whatever he has given you, work it and work it well. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so when you're faithful in that, he'll actually give you more. Hallelujah. Maybe when the Lord returns, when we are ruling with him, maybe they will give you some guys, some ladies, those ends in Ethiopia, and they will say, Teddy, yeah, Ethiopia, tujikuwade, teach those beautiful ladies how to worship the Lord. Yeah, you understand? So again, you get my point. The last thing is accountability. Accountability. From that parable, we have seen that the Lord came back. He did what? He came back. So we are going to be called to account. The Lord came back and said, so, what have you done with what I gave you? I'll tell you something that really occurred to me when I was reading this, and I noted it down. And I wrote here that never disconnect your abilities, your calling, from the eternal perspective. Whatever you do here, and as minute and mundane as what you did yesterday, it either takes you closer to a good eternal outcome or a bad one. Hallelujah. That is what happened to the gentleman or the servant. No, the servant could have been a lady. The servant who was given one talent. He got it and buried it, and he never used it for anything. And when the Lord returned, that means that, I wonder what the guy was doing or the lady. But when the master returned, he was like, so now, what? Give me what you have. And then he gives it to him. And this guy, and Jesus tells him, you are wicked and lazy. And he cast him away. But for the first two, the servant with the 10 and the servant with the 2, there was an eternal, not just commendation, but there was an eternal reward. Because the Bible says that he told them, enter the joy of the Lord. That to me, there's an eternal perspective there. So whatever you do today, what you did yesterday has something to do with eternity for you. Glory to God. Because he says you are faithful in the little. Now I'm going to give you more. So that means that what you're called to do does not end here. There is more that you are going to be given. And if you look at this parable, in the grand scheme of the return of the Lord, you know that whatever you do today, whether you're an engineer, a dancer, a comedian, it has an eternal perspective to it. So the day you divorce what God has called you to do as a salesperson, you divorce it from that, or you disconnect it from the eternal perspective, then you have lost the plot. Glory to God. And this is what we see happening every day. Because what happens is people have talents, but the point at which they sever that connection from their talent, their ability, their calling, their purpose, once they sever it from the eternal perspective, then they start to fall. And God does not want that. Amen? Romans 4:14-12. So then each one of us shall give account of himself to God. We are talking about accountability. Each one of us shall give account. You're going to have to give account. You want that beauty, you ask for it, you're going to have to account for it. Hallelujah. Yes, you're going to have to account for it. You want that dime, or that dime that God gave, you're going to have to account. Whatever, if you're looking at talent in form of skill, you're going to have to account. Maybe God knows math. Auntie Bridget, God knows medicine. Hallelujah. Yeah, he's a healer. He heals. Yeah, he knows medicine. Yeah, and God has, you know, gifted you. God is a very, 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 very good salesperson. Yeah? God is a very what? Yeah, God is a very good salesperson. Yeah, and he does talk about kumutwe. You know, he's not fake like that, like some people. So, whatever you're called to do, you're an architect, you're going to account for that thing. Anyway, 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So we are going to, again, we're talking about accountability. So we are going to account here. We are going to go before the judgment seat of Christ, and we are going to give accountability. This parable was for servants who belong to a master. It was for people who are born again, actually. Not people who are not born again, because then they're not entrusted with some things, yeah? So here, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So that means that essentially, we have to prepare for the Lord's return in our purposes. Glory to God. This is where now me and Pastor step away, and we are like, it is your responsibility, not ours. For us, we prepare you, we give you everything, we partner with you, that on that day, you do not miss your reward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe some of you are not going to be asked about how many scriptures you knew, how many, like, you know, that teach, how do you know Greek, do you know Hebrew, Christine. Maybe they'll ask you if you know Lutoro. Yeah? Also, I hear you now. Hippo pastor has flipped. Pastor has flipped, let me tell you. Before Pastor left for Kenya, he had assured me, I'm coming back. I am coming back, and I'm going to learn Kinyarwanda. He had assured me. I was so sure, by the way. And I was dreading it, because I know I was like, think about my pastor is going to come and lord it over me. Any coward, he will be, eh? Because already right now, I'm not a Mutoro, but Antwala. Some people even just jumped out of the what? So I was dreading it. I'm like, the day pastor comes and he says, umezute, I'll be like, I'm done. I am done. But I was so relieved this morning when he said, now, he came, he greeted all of us in Swahili. Habari. Habari za. Now, the thing was, habari za subui. And he said, now I am going to learn this one. And in my heart, I'm like, the Lord loves his servant. Amen? Because unlike Swahili, Kinyarwanda, you have to have a certain accent. You have to put your tongue, you know, you have to twist it a certain way. It has to be to touch your palate a certain way. Habari za subuhi. Yeah? Shikamo. Tuonane kesho. Those are normal things, yeah. But for the Banyaranda here, Nyamurwana, yeah. If you're to tell people, let us meet tomorrow, no one will understand you here in Kinyaranda. Okay. So anyway, Pastor flipped. So very soon we are going to need an interpreter. So in a short, the short and the long of what I've been saying today is, we have a master called Jesus. We are his servants. And Jesus gave each one of us an ability, a talent. Each one of us has a calling. And it is our responsibility to work on that and become better and be fruitful. Because a time is going to come when he returns and we shall account for what we have done. So I pray, Elliot, even as we go into the next 11 years, let us remember, let us never, ever, ever, in everything that we do, on a personal level, even as a church, let us never, ever, ever divorce our calling from the eternal perspective. Because if we say that we are looking forward to our soon coming King, that means that we have eternity in what? In mind. So, and eternity in mind means, how do you live every day? What are you doing every day? If you're really serious and you believe today's message, you know that you're going to be called to account. Now, it is my desire, it is our desire that none of us is cheated or loses their reward. It's our desire, it is why we are here, that all of us will be told, well done, good and faithful servant. That is what, at the end of the day, that is what we wish for each one of you. That is why we come and preach. That is why we worship. That is why we are doing that, what we are doing. Because we know we have a short time, only a dash here on earth, where it is you were born in 1940 to 2030. After that, that's a very small dash. But then you have the whole of eternity. But that dash and how you use it and how it plays out will determine how your eternity will look like. So I just pray that we realize that you don't have a lot of time to do what you have to do. If you understand that, do things on a daily, everyday, things that have the eternal perspective. Things, don't do things God has not called you to do. You understand your purpose. You do those things every day. Then come on Sunday and we worship and go back and do those things in your calling, in your line. And let me tell you something. You will hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful in the little. Now I'm going to give you more. Enter the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.